90 KBC.
Monday, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. We made it, and the week is starting, and it's already off to a bang. Let me tell you about this healthcare bill, because everyone's talking about it, and there's a lot more going on than the media is acknowledging. And I'm going to tell you what it is, and please, to get there, think what I got to take this back a few steps. And let's, as a matter of fact, let's go back to before the election. Before the election, one of the critical issues, you'll remember this, was the repeal of Obamacare. It is what many members of the House of Representatives campaigned on and won. It was fodder for many, you know, in a lot of these races, by the way, where you've got, you know, gerrymandered districts, and you've got it, you know, pretty clear it's a Republican that's going to win. These races are all about the primaries, and in the primary fights, it was all about Obamacare. And then let's talk about the presidency, right? I mean, in some respects, it was a binary choice. You knew the people that voted for Hillary, one of the things that they wanted from Hillary was what? To preserve Obamacare. And the people that voted for Trump, you know, among other things, they wanted it gone. They wanted sayonara, goodbye, away and away, done, repeal Obamacare. And I'll just add here really quickly to make it really clear is that these voters did not want to repackage Obamacare, leave in there the same elements of government coercion in healthcare, leave in any, you know, mandatory, you know, requirement for insurance, minimum insurance levels, state, we'll call it federal subsidies of private health care. And wanted the government out of it. They wanted a flat repeal. They wanted to go back to 2015 when the Republicans in the House and Senate voted to get or to repeal Obamacare, and sent it up to the White House symbolically and to only to have, of course, Obama repeal it, veto it. That was, I'll tell you, this is what was in the mind's eye of the average Trump voter and of the average Republican voter in 2016. But those are the issues. And in Washington, it's not always about the issues. It's about the politics and the background of it. It's about egos, and it's about horse training. And that's what frustrates us. That's what frustrates conservatism. It's what frustrates America, you and me. Because we send these people, we vote, and it's this almost frustrating exercise. You send these people to Washington. You think they're going to get things done, represent you, fulfill their promises, and then lo and behold, they show up there and it's politics as usual. And one of the dramas, if you will, that exactly ties into this, that is critical to understanding why the media has it so wrong when it comes to all of this, is the Trump-Ryan relationship. Now, I have to ask you, just think about this for a second. Do you think that, let's say late September, October, maybe even early November, do you think that Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, Republican, thought in a million years that Trump could win? See, I obviously think he didn't. He didn't because he actively campaigned against Trump at one point. In fact, he made a big point of it. He says, "I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I can't support this guy. I'm washing my hands of him." And you'll remember the leaked audio that came out a couple weeks ago. Breitbart had it, had been sitting on it for months, and finally released it. It was audio from a Ryan phone call where he was talking to members of the House Republican Caucus and said, "Look, I'm done with this dude. I am not campaigning for Trump. I'm not doing anything for Trump. I'm not helping Trump. I'm not talking Trump. Blah, done." But even without that tape, it wasn't exactly a mystery, was it? So one, Ryan didn't think that Trump was going to win. Two, Ryan hated Trump through and through. They're very different people. Ryan is a guy, you got to understand, Ryan's kind of he's a bit of a nerd. To understand him, when they say policy wonk, they mean somebody who loves to get into the nitty-gritty details of how things are going to work. How government is going to make your life better. You know, when anyone in the government shows up and tells me they're going to make my life better, I start to freak out just a little bit. Because my life and your life gets better when there's less government. You know, the politician that shows up and says, "You know what, we're just going to kind of scale this back and kind of get out of the way and let you do your own thing." That is what conservatism is about. And so I am always weirded out, I'll tell you this, by Republicans who act like Democrats. Conservatives, so-called, that really are in fact big state liberals. They want to figure out how to fix the government to make it better for you and help you. And this is what, when it came to healthcare, was Ryan's modus operandi. He comes into the picture. He doesn't like Trump. In fact, he probably thinks Trump is a bit of a buffoon, right? He thinks Trump's this guy who doesn't know what he's doing, and he's the outsider. He's a neophyte. He doesn't know how the political world works. He doesn't understand policy. So he's dismissive of Trump. But remember what I said earlier. There also is an element of I would say, just, we'll call it surprise. Total surprise that Trump wins the election. And you have to ask yourself, you have to think, what would have Paul Ryan's world have looked like if Trump had lost? And the short answer is that Paul Ryan would have been the undisputed leader of the Republican Party. He would have been the heir apparent to a White House run. He would have been the guy, the grand poobah, he would have been Attila the Hun himself of the Republican Party. And then Election Day happens. And, not a surprise to this program. If you listened, you were here along for the ride. So, you know what we thought and what I told you would happen. But to the outsiders, to the insiders that are outsiders, for people like Paul Ryan and people at CNN and MSNBC, they were shocked. So the morning after, Paul Ryan's world looks very different than what he expected to happen. You have to understand that this is critical to understanding what happened and why this healthcare thing turned out the way it is. So I'll get there. But Paul Ryan's walking into this, Trump unseated him. One fell swoop, boom, Election Day happens, Trump unseats Ryan. And now Ryan's in a very awkward position because, you know what, he's been trash-talking Trump. He's distanced himself from Trump. And now the two of them, the two of them have to work working together to get things done. And they make for very strange bedfellows. And I think you remember some of the first images of Trump visiting Paul Ryan at his office. And then the two of them touring the Capitol. There's that picture of them, looking out from over the terrace. This is all very important imagery because Trump had to signal to people that he was willing to forgive. Right. The leadership requires that you move on. You don't hold grudges. And so Trump did the meeting, and you remember it was a photo op and blah, blah, blah. So now healthcare begins. And I tell you, sometimes when you're reacting to news quickly when it's happening, You don't have time exactly to get in all the details. And plus, a lot has been coming out of the weekend. So I got to tell you, while you were, I hope, enjoying your weekends, I was hard at work trying to figure this thing out and make heads and tails of it. And I spoke to a source, I won't name him, but someone who is a recognizable Trump insider. And so this is what I'm told. And again, I just want you to understand, and you'll see how different this is from everything that you're hearing in the press. Because in the press, you have headlines like, "Can the party of no govern?" Talking about the Republicans. Then there's the Politico headline. I like this one. 18 days that shook the Republican Party and humbled a president. And the real answer here is that the House Freedom Caucus, by saying no to this bill and killing it, did the best thing that could possibly happen for the Republican Party. Because owning this bill sucked donkey. Okay? This was a terrible bill. I called it, on Friday, I called it a three-legged dog with fleas. It was a terrible bill. And the House Freedom Caucus, we'll call it the party of no, right? By killing the bill, saved the Republican Party from itself. But the reason the Republican Party got, the reason this whole healthcare negotiation went where it did is because, and I have this on, and I'm telling you, this is what I'm told, is that Trump understood from the get-go that there was no convincing Paul Ryan of anything other than what Paul Ryan wanted to do. Ryan went into this headstrong. He went into this determined. He was going to have it his way or the highway. I mean, this bill was not going to fail. He's presumptuous, right? He went into it. He just went into it exactly as, and it rings true. It's believable. Because, again, Paul Ryan has a very, very high opinion of himself, and you've got to trust me on this. So there it is. Trump realized early on, and the team realized early on, that the strategy wasn't to try to talk to Ryan before the bill hit the floor. It just wasn't. Let Ryan run with the bill. And actually hope that the bill fail. And this is something interesting because it's a terrible perception problem. This is why you see, you know, I thought about this. I'm looking at these different people inside the administration, like Rance Priebus and Sean Spicer. I'm seeing them react to it, and they're dancing around. You'll hear their responses. They're dancing around trying to explain away what happened. They can't tell you that this is what their intention was, because it would kill the entire reason for doing it. The point of it was to let Ryan's bill fail. Let him run with the ball. Let him drop the ball. And this is where, if you, and I got some great clips to substantiate this, and we'll get into it in a minute. You'll see that this is part of what the art of the deal is. You have to understand what Trump is doing. Trump is a guy who gets how to make deals. And a critical part of this is you've got to be able to walk away from a deal. And also a very important thing here is you've got to be able, how do you neutralize a powerful opponent? Because that is what Ryan is to Trump. He's a powerful opponent. And I'm tired of hearing, this is something that is, I'm tired of hearing this should be a walk. This is a cakewalk. You've got a Republican in the White House. You've got a Republican Senate. You've got a Republican House. Yeah, but look at the Republican that leads the House. Look at the Republican that leads the Senate. These are anti-Trumpers through and through. These are not people that are, these are people that in many respects are hostile to many of the things that Trump wants to do. Immigration reform, they're not going along with it. Lowering taxes, not keen on it. Building a wall, not keen on that either. I mean, everywhere, Trump has some big initiatives, has some big things that he wants to pursue. So what if he had started with the wall? What if he had started with taxes? Things that were really critical where there where there maybe wasn't any initiative on the part of Paul Ryan to run with it. You see what I'm saying? They deliberately picked healthcare first because Paul Ryan told them, and I have this on good authority, went to them and said, I want to make this my pet project. I want to work on this. I want to do this. I want to handle it. Make it mine. Make it mine. Please, please. In so many words. And they looked at it and go, you know what? This is we can humble Ryan a little bit by sending him out with this, because they knew full well that the votes weren't there to get it done. So when I come back, I'm going to play you, and I'll show you why there was probably even some collusion among members of Congress on this point. I'll place a really telling Rand Paul clip, because it just shows you exactly what I'm saying. All right. We'll be back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
In case you missed it, Representative Mo Brooks today from Alabama went ahead and filed a bill to repeal Obamacare. And it was one sentence long, and it basically said, thou shalt repeal Obamacare. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. That is exactly what didn't happen when Paul Ryan took this thing and decided to turn it into his pet project. And that's what we're talking about here. In order, look, we've all dealt with someone in our lives that's been a little bit overzealous about something. It's called, you remember the group project in school? And somebody just has this crazy idea of something they have to do. And the way to handle it is to let them run with it. Let them fall on their face and then pick up the pieces. And it's not, what doesn't work, at least in my experience, is to try to talk them out of crazy. It doesn't work. And this is where, I'm telling you, this is where the media narrative is so far out there and wrong that they haven't even considered this. The media is simply looking at this thing as a Republicans can't lead, they're divided, they're not, what, Trump, the legendary deal maker, whatever happened there? And so here's a great example of, and by the way, there are people that are talking about this in the mainstream media. Well, to the mainstream media, and the mainstream media isn't even listening to this. And so I have this clip. This was last week, as the deal was being put together. Rand Paul was on Morning Joe. This was last Wednesday, And Rand Paul's basically, he doesn't want anything to do, right? He doesn't want to touch this Obamacare light, you know, Ryan Care plan with the 10-foot pole. And he's got Elise Jordan, one of the panelists. They're asking him about, you know, well, what's the problems? You know, you're calling it Obamacare light. And I think there's a lot of problems, you know, with the Republicans, those terrible Republicans who are pushing for one extreme. What do you make of Donald Trump putting his support behind this bill that is Obamacare light? Is this in effect Donald Trump turning his back on his base? Now listen to this carefully worded answer.
You know, I think that he's been told things by House leadership that frankly just are not accurate. He's been told this is the only vehicle. Paul Ryan's been saying it for weeks. It's a binary choice. You either take it, it's my way or the highway. I think he's been fed a bill of goods on this thing. And I do believe that there is something that can pass that actually would bring down insurance costs, but this bill doesn't do it. I've fought against Obamacare for 6 years. I'm a physician. I want to repeal it, but I don't want to repeal it and replace it with something that's just as bad or doesn't work.
There it is. And so listen carefully how he's not willing to throw Trump under the bus, right? He's being very careful, which again signals to me, I'm listening to this and I'm hearing This is somebody who either has been explicitly told or fundamentally understands that Trump is willing to be a partner that listens to a bill that will compromise on this issue. So then a panelist presses him, and I'm going to play for you actually what this gal, Katie Kay from BBC World News America, what she is saying, because she sounds hysterical, but she can't even believe that Rand Paul would be willing in this situation to stick up for Trump, who was at the time lobbying for this bill. And here's what she says, and his answer is perfect.
Right. One thing, Senator, you say that, and you've said it a couple of times, that the president has been sold a bill of goods. It sounds like you think the president is not responsible for what he is supporting. He has made the decision to go all in and support Paul Ryan's bill. He owns this now. He's perfectly capable of deciding what he's going to support and what he's not going to support.
Yes and no. I read The Art of the Deal, and the deal's not done till the deal's done. And so right now we're in the negotiating phase. In fact, I would say that we're in the pre-negotiation phase, and that when they count up the votes today or tomorrow, and when they pull this bill from the floor because it can't pass, then the real negotiation begins. That's what we're ready for. Conservatives don't want to stop repeal. We want a real repeal, but we also want a seat at the table.
See, now listen, it is worth listening to someone who a week ago was telling you exactly how this thing was going to end up. He understands that the deal was still in the process of being made. I will explain this when we come back. And up next, we've got John Wolfe with the news. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC, conservative and proud of it. Hey, let me tell you this. So now everybody's screaming and shouting that the Republicans are the party of no. And it's this. So as a parent, the first thing I think of, by the way, as I'm reading all this stuff, is the parent that says no to the kids. You know, it's never the cool parent. You know, and that's the same thing as let's say somebody who's like a controller in a business, the guy who says, sorry, we can't afford this cool new whatever it is. We've got to stick with the one that we have. Never the fun guy, right? But, you know, we are $20 trillion in debt. That's what this is about. That was one of the critical issues in this campaign. In 2016 was that the Democrats are the party of freebies, of hand it out, give it away. You want more student loans, health care. You want it. Gimme, gimme, gimme. You want, you know, at the end of the day, the money has to come from somewhere. And that's what this health care bill, for example, did, is it didn't at the end of the day change the equation much on anything when it came to savings or just on the fiscal side, because it gave away so many tax breaks, so many incentives, and gave away so many, you know, just money that was going to help fund people's health care. And people want to. Here's what the Democrats and even I'm telling you in some cases Republicans don't understand is that people, they want choice more than they want a handout. If you let the marketplace come in, if you let competition do its thing, if you allow for insurance companies to throughout the U.S., across state borders, compete and provide the best product, that will always be better than the government dictating what you can and cannot buy or mandating that you must buy a certain product. And this is what was, and this is why we're in this terrible predicament. Now, this said, it is important to understand politically how and where the Republicans right now, what their actual situation is. Because Trump was elected on a promise to drain the swamp, to not fall prey to politics as usual. He's been, his voters, the people that are core Trump supporters, want a repeal of Obamacare. They want an end of globalism. They want an immigration policy that's solid. They want that wall built. And the biggest obstacle to Trump's agenda are the rhino Republicans, right? The Republican in name only. The liberal Republicans that are in the House and especially in the Senate. And these are guys and gals waiting in the wings to derail any aspect, any of the core aspects of Trump's campaign promises, and they'll do it. And they are, you've got to understand, they're more dangerous than the Democrats in either house because they have the power to peel away friendly votes from Trump. They can promise committeeships, you know, they can promise plum assignments. They can promise, they can threaten to withhold perks from House members. And this is why this is what rings so true about what was said to me earlier this weekend when somebody told me that, look, you got to understand what Trump was doing here was he's trying to undermine Ryan. He wants to get Ryan to fall on his face and start over. The deal and what you heard in the last clip, where in the last segment when I played those clips from Rand Paul, it's clear that in the art of the deal, the way Trump sees it, this is not the end. Just because the bill never went up for a vote does not mean that it's over. It's a refresh, a restart, and hopefully with a more humbled leadership in the House, I think some more common sense is likely to prevail. Okay, we'll be back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
And we're back. Sam Rogowski here. You go back to January and you look at Politico ran a poll of figuring out, you know, what Trump supporters were thinking about health care. 85% said health care was very important or very important as an issue. By contrast, in the same category, only 78% put immigration in the same place. So that's how important healthcare is. But the numbers are more telling when you break them down. Of that percentage, 75% of Trump supporters wanted a full repeal, and only 57% wanted a repeal and replace. So when they looked at these numbers and they extrapolated from it, what took away the data and looked at the questions, they figured out that people really, at the root of it, they want to have independence. They want autonomy. They don't like the idea of government telling them what kind of healthcare to buy, what kind of healthcare to have, limiting the number of plans. Because the perception, of course, is, and it's correct, is that once government is involved in setting such stringent guidelines, the marketplace is essentially government run, right? Isn't that what these exchanges are all about? It's a government run marketplace. We don't have a government run eBay. We don't have a government-run auto trader, but for some reason, it's okay to have a government-run place where we buy our insurance. Such an important thing, and this is something that I thought about. The world is right now in an interesting place because in so many ways we have the siren call of the legislator, of the politician, is to find ways by which to improve our lives. As I was saying earlier, you know, these politicians get in there and go, how are we going to fix things? How are we going to make things better? And when you hear that, run for it, because nothing that politicians touch will make your life better, generally speaking. The more they get involved, the worse it gets. And leftists have this in interesting idea, this plan that they're going to make the world better by giving us fewer choices. Okay. For example, with healthcare, a liberal's perfect world is where we all have the same healthcare that's run by them. It's run by the government. You don't pay anything. The government takes care of it. They manage it because they know best, right? You don't know best, but they do. And I'm struck by bad choice of words, but I don't know if you noticed over the weekend there was an embarrassing wreck for Uber. And it was one of their self-driving cars. Uber's participating in a study where they're using self-driving technology, and because they want to get rid of all those drivers that are, you know, that, well, various states are pushing them to pay more and all that good stuff. They want to take the driver, the employee, out of the relationship, the independent contractor, get rid of them and replace them with the gadget. And the interesting thing is that, you know, I see the self-driving technology as, well, I see it as a little bit of that liberal utopia where we all have the same little stupid electric car. The electric car, we don't get, there's no steering wheel. There are no brakes. There's no anything. You just sit down in the car and you tell it where you're going to go. And then we're all going exactly the speed limit. We're all going, you know, it's in a 35 zone. Everybody's going 35. There's nothing you don't have any control. I don't know. A lot of people very weirded out by this idea. I don't know. How would you, what do you think if you're in a car that didn't have a steering wheel or a brake or a gas pedal? And this car now is going to, now think about this. This car has to make decisions about your life. It has to determine when you live and die, because it has to consider, look, there's a car coming against it, and maybe that car has five people in it, and in your car, it's just one. And where the technology is going is that the car with the one person is going to say, I'm going to sacrifice this one person to save five. Now, what I'm trying to get at is people don't like this. Like, people, when they see this Uber wreck, they get weirded out by it, because as bad as the Uber driver, you know, you get into a car and you got some bad Uber driver, at least you feel you're in the back seat and you can tell them, hey man, watch out, get out of the way, there's something coming. But you can't tell that to a robot. We like to have control. And that's why, let me tell you, this is why people politically, in their hearts, they favor some form of conservatism, because they want self-determination. I wonder what happens when you get into an accident with a robot. I'll tell you what Sweet James would do when I come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Do you remember what it was like when you got your driver's license for the very first time? I still remember this. So I love cars. And my very first car was a 1983 Mercedes diesel that I resurrected from a neighbor's backyard. I mean, this thing, I had to push it over to my house with my friend Jason. It took me, I don't know, a month or two to get it started. When I started for the first time, it left a black crater in front of my house that stayed there, I think, for about 3 years. But I bring all this up because it was a magical time in my life. I mean, here I had a car. And when I got my car first, and then I got my driver's license, because I had to buy my own car. My parents weren't going to give me anything. So I bought my own car, then I got my driver's license, and then I was roadworthy. I remember the day. And what do you do when you still remember your first solo ride, right? You get out there and you feel so much freedom. And there's something really fun, I think, personally, about driving. So I'm naturally skeptical about these self-driving cars. And I also, I'm not saying that I speed. I'm just saying that, you know, that some speed limits are, for the most part, fictitious. Okay. I mean, they don't exist. It might say 35, but everybody goes 45. And I'm trying to picture a world where these ninny governmental politicians are controlling how fast we go, because they've removed all the pedals and steering wheels from our cars and are programming these automobiles to never break a single law. And it also would require me to, and you, to kind of give up control. And that we have to then, you know, we've got to believe that this technology is better at driving than we are. Now, this particular accident that I referenced that happened in Arizona, I think Tempe, Arizona, This was a Volvo SUV that was being driven as part of Uber's self-driving fleet. Now, it had a test driver behind the wheel. They're still training, you know, and figuring out how these things work. And apparently another car made an illegal turn in front of them, and it caused an accident. So who knows if would have a real human driver reacted faster? Maybe. But these accidents are going to happen, and they are going to freak people out. Trust me. At our core, we like to be in control. And the body of law, giving you a lawyer's perspective here, because I think, you know, there will be accidents that happen with these cars that are driverless. So who do you go after? Who do you sue? You got to talk to a good lawyer. Of course, we know one, Sweet James, James Bergner, the one and only. And I was talking to him about this, there'll be an entire new body of law that is written. And you don't want to go with some schmuck PI lawyer who doesn't know what he's doing, who's just, you know, flying by the seat of his pants. Maybe he's got a jingle on the radio, whatever it is. But you want to go with somebody who's got the resources to fight the fight, because these fights are going to go to Google and they're going to go to Tesla or whoever makes the car. And these are big companies with deep pockets, big resources. Go with the lawyer you trust, because if you've got a robot out there that runs you over, you're going to need to bring out the big guns. Sweet James himself. All right, we're off. We are off for the rest. No, we're back on Thursday. So we'll see you then. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Chop, chop, it says I'm going to win big. Choose now. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.